Hey, Channel Insiders, welcome back to Channel Insider Partner POV, your source for untapped opportunities and unfiltered opinions in the IT channel, all to help you make better business decisions. I'm your host, Katie Bovoso. Before we get started, have you subscribed to our YouTube channel yet? Head on over and check out our page at channelinsider_news and trends. My guest today is Tolga Tarhan, CEO of Kibzi, a startup on a mission to make computer vision lightweight, cost-effective, and accessible to everyone. Customers can even use their existing camera systems to collect data and insights like never before. Tolga, welcome. It's great to see you.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to have you here because just browsing Kibzi's website, which I've obviously done more than that, but anybody who just goes to your website immediately sees that you do something I think maybe 10 years ago we thought was a little bit more James Bond-esque than it is right now with computer vision. So why don't we start out by talking about what Kibzi is? When you describe it to people, how do you describe what Kibzi is, the solution that you offer, and the kind of partners, or I should say clients, that work with you?
Yeah, so Kibzi turns what we see in a camera feed, we turn that image into data in real time. And so it's a little bit like Minority Report, you know, where you're just analyzing what's happening in the real world. But think of it as business intelligence powered by your cameras. Today, you've got an ERP system or a warehouse management system. And these systems are actually, if you think about it, secondhand sources of information, right? Like they get their data because somebody enters it, or because maybe there's a barcode scanner along a conveyor belt or something of that nature. But nothing is looking at the actual human activity and measuring that human activity. And so I think one of the really neat opportunities is to say, hey, let's use these cameras that are already deployed as an asset throughout your organization, and let's analyze business processes. And let's say, hey, here is how this process is working. We've built a platform that lets you express those kinds of business problems and then delivers data from your cameras.
So I want to back up for a moment, just in case we have some folks listening or watching who may be new in this space. Can you define computer vision for us?
It's a type of artificial intelligence, right? So there's lots of kinds of AI. Right now, the world is dominated by kind of generative AI, chatbots, those kinds of AI. That's like all the talk today, right? But there are other fields of artificial intelligence, computer vision being one of them. And there's lots of techniques in computer vision. So it's a whole category unto itself. And it's also evolving very quickly with all the recent innovations that are happening in AI. At the heart of it, though, is we take, again, images from cameras that are really not structured. We take that kind of image and we turn it into, hey, there was a person here doing this thing. There was a box here with the stuff in it. It's kind of taking apart what we see in the scene and making it into something we could then store, analyze, as if it was kind of digital data to begin with.
Yeah, and just to give the audience an idea, King's Research estimates that AI computer vision, that market, will experience a lot of growth between now and 2030, growing at a CAGR of more than 37%. So we're talking a market that is very exciting. You talk about AI, Tolga, that it's everywhere right now. That feels like an understatement, honestly, because it is just so intrinsic and ubiquitous across the technology channel and the IT industry in general. But as far as bringing this into a human perspective, some of your clients were looking at a lot of big spaces like airports, transportation in general. We're looking at venues, so stadiums. And we're also looking at one of my favorite parts, zoos, which I thought was really exciting, zoos and aquariums. But can you give me a real world success story in which Kibzi was able to bring in this awesome technology and be able to change the way or improve the way that client does business?
I'll start with zoos because, you know, we spend a lot of time in our business looking at camera feeds of industrial environments like a warehouse or a factory. Those are interesting places, but they're not nearly as fun as looking at camera feeds of cute animals at a zoo. So our team really likes when we get to work with zoos just because the subject matter is more interesting, more visually appealing. So in zoos, what we're doing is helping with animal welfare by monitoring the behavior of animals. So let's say you have a large enclosure with elephants in it. You know, where are those elephants spending their time in the exhibit? Are they showing behaviors of maybe being too anxious or anticipatory? These things help catalog the behavior of animals to ensure that the animals are well taken care of, that they're well, that the enrichment is working, that they're not bored or anxious. We've been really lucky and fortunate to have a handful of zoos that were innovators in the space. And essentially what we provide is an additional input to their animal welfare team that they couldn't really do before, right? Because you can't have a person sit there 24/7 and watch the whole exhibit.
I would do it. I'm just saying that if they needed a volunteer, I might do it.
Like a sleeping bag in a little campsite right outside the exhibit.
All the elements,
To your point, they do use volunteers to do sort of measurements in little snapshots for the next week. Let's spend 8 hours a day, recording this data. But that's a snapshot, and it might be a while before you get the next snapshot. And so this is a way to do it more continuously. But most of our customers are industrial customers. So they are factories, warehouses. They are creating product or storing product or shipping product. You know, I'll give you an example of a large, construction materials manufacturer. You know, you can might imagine conveyor belts producing products that are going to be used by construction workers. There are different things that could go wrong. It could be bundled incorrectly, meaning maybe it used to be a pack of four or five, but that didn't get packed correctly. All these things are going to cause a machine later on downstream to jam, mm-hmm. and they're going to cause a stoppage in that line. Even if it's a very momentary minute or two to fix it, if that happens every day and it happens across, say, 20 facilities, that can be a big impact, right? So what you can do is you've got really three options. You could put a lot of humans on the problem, which is impractical. You can use really specialized kind of industrial automation and rework your conveyor belt and rework your line to deal with this problem, right? Using very, very specialized hardware. Or you can aim commodity cameras that are probably already in your ceiling at the conveyor belt and then use technology like Kibsi to get almost as good as that second option, but without having to stop and redesign your production line. And so what Kibsi does is lets you address these problems that are paper cuts, that are causing an inefficiency, they're causing an outage, they're causing a production problem, and it lets you do it without investing millions and millions of dollars in reworking an entire production line. Just aim a camera, define the business process, and start getting data out.
So you mentioned also that you can use the existing camera system. When we say that, I mean, what are the stipulations there? I mean, how easy is this to kind of click and deploy in a system when we talk about using Kibsi?
Most of our customers do already have cameras that were installed for security purposes, right? Your average sort of enterprise environment has relatively decent camera coverage, and all you're doing with that footage is recording it, storing it, and then you look at it if somebody gets hurt. Otherwise, you delete it, a year from now. That's the typical lifetime of this footage. Well, we take those same cameras, we leave them alone from a security point of view, and we process it in the way I described earlier. And so really, it becomes very simple to turn this on, because if the camera's already in place, it's all just software, right? There's really no infrastructure to go change. And then what we've also found is in the event that a camera's not there, our customers typically already have a vendor they're using for cameras where they do have them. And so it's easy to add one to that system. So we're not coming in with a, hey, here's a major new installation project. It's more, here's some software that basically gives your existing infrastructure new capabilities. I think that's a really compelling way for customers to start adopting AI. One of the things I like to talk about a lot is enterprises are all looking for, hey, how will AI affect us? And, will we get disrupted by AI, or can we be a disruptor with AI? And I think executives, in manufacturing, in IT, in supply chain are thinking about what's it mean to me? How do I become the person who brings AI into the company in a way that's impactful? And that's where Kibsi is so powerful, because with just software, with just essentially point and click kind of work, you're starting to leverage the power of AI, and you're not having to do years of capital expenditures or years of R&D. And I think that's really where the power comes from.
And on that AI note, was this something that you saw as possible as it is now 3-5 years ago, or has AI really been the engine for the way that Kibsi can exist as we know it right now, the way that AI has been on just such a upwards trajectory in the last 18 months?
It's definitely new tech, right? Like, I think the foundations of this go back to the sort of mid-2010s. Like that's sort of where the foundations of modern computer vision start. But it had to get cheap enough and fast enough and reliable enough. And then you needed someone like us to come around and realize, hey, we can't keep doing custom professional services projects each time a customer has a need in the space. There's a need for a platform. There's a need to say, how do we build these things without millions of dollars of R&D every time, repeating ourselves? And so our real innovation in the space isn't the best new computer vision models. In fact, we don't see that as our role. We see our role as taking all the great models that exist in the world, or all the great techniques that exist in the world, put them into a platform, and let customers adapt them and apply them to a real use case. What we didn't see was there was no real way to apply it to a real world business problem in a way that connected with a VP of supply chain, a VP of operations, a COO, not a computer scientist, right? And so that was the gap we filled.
I'd love to know, do you have any benchmarks that you might be able to call out that where a customer was either able to save X amount of money or perhaps increase productivity by X because of Kibsi?
We're relatively young still, so it's hard to get real tangible metrics. What I can say is there's a customer of ours that's using Kibsy to manage the loading of trucks. And in that scenario, you might imagine there's a lot that happens kind of from, you know, where the conveyor belt delivers the package to where the package gets onto the truck. And in that scenario, you might imagine that it's easy for inventory to get misplaced. Like, it doesn't get on the truck, either intentionally or accidentally. Those are the kinds of, like, really tangible losses that you could have. Because now, where'd that box go? Depending on what that box is, it could be very valuable. And so, you know, I don't have hard numbers, but what I can say is we've got customers that lose multiple boxes a day in this scenario. And so it's like, well, how do we stop doing that? And we've heard that from lots of customers. It's not just one. In fact, it tends to be relatively prevalent anytime you're loading a truck, not by the pallet, but by the box. Boxes are much easier to misplace in this process. And so you can imagine really easily these boxes being worth thousands of dollars of product in each box.
Yeah.
And you can imagine if you lost even four or five of them a day, which I think is low from what we're hearing, it starts to become a real meaningful number over the course of months and years.
You mentioned that Kibsy is young, and I should make sure I call that out. Kibsy really went to market last summer, I believe, in June 2023. Is that correct?
Yeah, all in all, about a 2.5-year-old company, but it took a really long time to kind of crack how to do what we're doing. We have a really ambitious platform, and so we spent a lot of time building it, and then we spent a lot of time exploring the market. So we didn't actually go right to industrial use cases as the first thing. And then we realized where the most value could be delivered the most quickly was in these manufacturing and warehousing environments. And so that kind of focus and go-to-market strategy started for us in June, July of last year. And it didn't really start to return results until like September, October of last year.
You have a background in cloud. You were the CTO of Rackspace prior to being the CEO of Kibsy. Can you talk to me about where you said there needs to be a product like this out there? What was that aha moment for you? And what was the process like after that?
I have a software engineer background and then became a cloud infrastructure expert. AI is relatively new to me. It definitely isn't my background. But I think that's what's special here, by the way, is people that think about AI every day have been thinking about it from a very, like, how do I make the next best deep tech solution here? And we came in and said, how do I make this deep tech accessible? Because we're kind of software people tackling an AI problem. And so I think that difference in viewpoint actually was really powerful. And it's the reason our platform is designed the way it is, as opposed to being another incarnation of sort of this deep tech. The idea came out of a bunch of work we did in IoT. So back at Rackspace and the company that I was at before Rackspace, Anika, which was acquired by Rackspace, we did a ton of work in the Amazon space with IoT. So we helped customers adopt AWS IoT services. In that world, we kept running into use cases that would be really interesting with cameras, but also kept running into a problem where using cameras to deliver them was too expensive. Not because the cameras are expensive, because there was no platform, required a ton. You know, it was like, hey, okay, we can do that for $1 million. We once had a really large oil and gas company come and say, hey, we want to do safety compliance. We want to know if people are wearing the proper vests and hard hats. Hmm. And we looked at our team and we said, hey, what would it take to build that out? And you're like, well, we've got to build and train the models. We've got to build all these UIs to consume the output. We got to create reports. And we came back with, well, it's $1 million. And we kind of got laughed out of the room saying, we're not going to spend $1 million on that project.
Right.
Well, at Kibsy, that project might be, you know, $5,000 a month, $4,000 a month, right? Subscription kind of price. And so it's a very different way to solve those problems. And I think after seeing that pattern a few times and realizing the amount of kind of repeat yourself you have to do to build these vision products, we said, all right, there's got to be a way to say, we're going to take all that heavy lifting and replace it with a platform. And instead of it being 100% custom, we're going to make it 90% platform and 10% custom.
How long from when the ink is dried, where the customer says, yes, we want this, to it's fired up, deployed, and installed? What does that timeline look like?
In Kibsy, we have a library of things we can detect, like a box, a person, a forklift, a car, a truck, right? If it's in that library already, it's literally hours. As soon as we have access to your camera stream, we can start to produce the results for your use case. If we don't have a model for your use case, then there's a few weeks of building and fine-tuning a model. And that happens when the object in question might be a custom object. Like if you manufacture pens and you need us to detect your specific brand and make of pen, then we're not going to have that in the library, right? That's a pretty unique object. That's a long way of saying it's somewhere from a couple of hours to a couple of weeks.
Let's talk about who is able to support you in bringing Kibsy to the masses. What vendors or hyperscalers are kind of the engine behind Kibsy?
Yeah, we are an all-in AWS shop. My background from the Anika and Rackspace days was AWS. So I've spent probably since 2013 essentially focused on the AWS platform, right? Initially as consultants and managed service providers, and then now as a SaaS company building on the platform. So our whole team loves AWS as a platform to build on. We also love AWS as a channel partner. Their partner program, I think, is pretty unique and uniquely friendly to startups. And so as a company with no revenue and a few people in a PowerPoint, you can still get support, financial support, marketing support. And that's been really, really cool. And so we've got a great relationship there. They not only power our technology, but they help us with go-to-market. And they helped us as a startup, you know, in the early days when you're just building and you're having to spend a ton of cloud consumption just to build your product. Amazon can be very helpful in those situations.
As far as with the rest of 2024, what are some of your plans there? What are some of your goals to accomplish?
Our main focus now is some scale. So, you know, take the dozen customers they're working with today and find more that look like them and grow the customers that are engaging with us and also grow the use cases that our customers are using us for. Mm. We're a seed-stage company. So the name of the game is prove to the market that your product is relevant, prove to customers that it can deliver ROI, and then go and raise your next round and do it again, right? So from a tech point of view, we feel really good about where we are. And from a go-to-market point of view, we have incredible logos with incredible sort of name brand customers. And so now it's a matter of scaling that out and going and getting more and more of it.
I'd also love to know, how can you overlap with channel partners like MSPs and VARs? And perhaps you don't, and that's just as much an answer. But is there any way that you can interact with them, plan to interact with them, or that they can reach out to you to be able to drive business outcomes for their customers? How does that overlap?
Yeah, we think there's actually really interesting channel opportunities that we haven't really dug into yet. I can list a few. So for example, any SIs, right? We're a really natural fit for an SI because what we do is produce a new source of data. So if an SI is working on some kind of broader project and cameras could enable a new source of data for that project, that's super interesting. Some of our investors are SIs, and so we're experimenting with that already. Also the camera ecosystem, who makes cameras, who installs cameras, right? So there are vendors who are typically sort of security vendors that install cameras, configure the recording devices. Well, those companies can now offer a new product in their portfolio and say, hey, what if I make your camera smarter with AI? And so that's another really interesting channel for us. So as we grow, we'll have to dedicate some energy and some headcount to working through those channels. In the meantime, we're being opportunistic as we run into them.
This is something, it's so interesting hearing your story and doing research on you and seeing your background and even you saying things so humbly like, I wasn't an AI guy. You know, I wasn't an expert on it. But here you are having launched your business that is so differentiated in this space. What lesson can you impart on other disruptors who are thinking about going out there, starting their own business with an idea, a hope, and a prayer?
I think my best advice to everybody would be to really maybe hone in on that target market earlier. I'd focus on the market first and the tech second. I think this is probably advice that's been written about in lots of books and lots of entrepreneurial kind of texts, but it's really hard as a technology background person to really appreciate its importance. And so I guess, you know, coming from technologist to technologist, I would tell you as a new entrepreneur, hey, make sure you understand where that target market's going to be, who the buyer is going to be, and what their needs are. And hopefully what that lets you do is skinny down kind of V1 of your product to just that. And I think that gives you a better head start and sort of a better running start. On the more positive side, the thing that we did really well is I would surround yourself with people that are better than you. When I said I'm not an AI guy, so what did we do? We went and found people that are much better at that than we are to be on our team, to be part of this journey. And so I think a good leader should look around and say, hey, all these people are better at this than I am. I think that's the thing we did right, and I would recommend you do as well.
So if we'd like to reach out to you, if I'm a customer, if I'm a business owner, if I see this need in my business, how can we reach out to Kibsy and get started with you?
Yeah, so kibsy.com is the website. There's a contact us form there. We read them all. They show up in Slack. I see them. Feel free to mention the podcast and I'll connect with you directly. We're a small team. We'd love to chat. If anyone wants to talk to me, I'm very accessible. We are, I would say, part of a revolution here, a disruption here in how do we bring applied AI to this industrial environment that I think has been underserved in general by the kind of Silicon Valley tech community. And so if you are in a position where you want to start bringing that tech into your industrial environment and be a disruptor, we're looking for those kinds of customers that want to partner with us and shape the future of this product and shape the future of this approach.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Tolga. It's been so interesting to talk to you, and I wish you the most success this year.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much to Tolga for joining me today, and thank you for watching or listening. Check out all episodes of Channel Insider Partner POV on channelinsider.com or watch on YouTube at channelinsider_news and trends. You can also listen to the podcast version of every episode on your favorite podcast listening platform, like Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow wherever possible so you never miss an episode. Once again, I'm Katie Bovoso, and I'll see you next time.